Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who love to examine how astrology unfolds in our daily life, in our politics, and in our metaphysics. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you tonight from Ronan, Montana, and I'm joined by Ann
Ortley here at the Bright Red Desk on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And we think Mark's coming. Not here yet. I don't see his phone number here yet, but Mark coming in from the Upper West Side when he gets here.
So. And here we are in the last week before Thanksgiving with the sun in Scorpio tonight, the moon in Sagittarius. We've just had the third and last Jupiter-Pluto conjunction, and it was interesting. We talk about how that when an aspect happens three times, there's often first here's the problem, then we work the problem, and here's some resolution to the problem, or a chance for some resolution for the problem. And when Jupiter-Pluto conjunct the first time, was in April at the first peak of COVID. The second peak was at the end of June, which was the second peak of COVID. And it just happened again for the third time, the third peak of COVID, but also on the same, within 2 days of this, the two different companies announced they've got a good vaccine, which may not be the perfect answer, but may cut way down on the amount. So we hear the beginnings of the end of the cycle without exactly a timing on it. But it is amazingly right on target.
Right.
Yeah, and that's kind of intense. While Mars has spun retrograde on Saturday, it turned direct after being retrograde for a long time, under the new moon in Scorpio, I thought the perfect time to start something that's not going to get anywhere with Mars stationary and at the dark of the moon in Scorpio. And that's when the Million MAGA March, which turned out to be about 10,000 people, occurred. And it was perfect timing for that, I think, because it looks like it's going nowhere. So it doesn't mean that it won't continue the upset as Mars comes back to square Saturn, Jupiter, and Pluto between now and Christmas, but it will. We are kind of on resolution, heading in the direction of resolution.
Right.
So, yeah. And how did you see that new moon in Scorpio play out in your life? And around
well,
you.
I liked it actually.
I did too.
You know, it's a closing sextile to the COVID planets, and it's in Scorpio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we did. You know, there's an astrologer named Chris Brennan who's very good. You can find him on the internet. I don't think his page is blocked. I think you just see it. But he had a couple he had a graph where he showed the COVID peaks with the Jupiter-Pluto conjunctions. So it was fascinating to see them both, you know, the spiking and how they kind of tracked. So I think one of the things that we're looking at now is, okay, so now we're in the mode of, all right, let's clear this up, let's finish this up, what do we need to do next, how are we going to do it? And so I think that forward motion energy is kind of helpful. And I liked the new moon. It was past the Jupiter-Saturn, the Jupiter-Pluto conjunction. It was past the Mars turning direct. We do have Mars parked at the degree of 15 from the 1st through the 24th of November. So even though he's moving forward, he's just going a little bit. Not fast.
Not time to quite build up that speed. Yet.
Yeah, not building up the head of steam yet. But he's working on it. He's thinking about it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that forward motion that we really look for in terms of, okay. And, of course, Jupiter and Pluto split up, and now they're not going to see each other again for 13 years. And then we have you know, Jupiter running forward to gather, meet up with Saturn in a couple of weeks. So Mark just joined us. I see him here. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you like that Scorpio new moon last Saturday night?
I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very nice energy.
It was deep. And it felt cleansing.
Yeah.
Some people found it very depressing, from what I've heard, that people that are really having a hard time being alone You know, because the new moon in Scorpio, sun and moon in Scorpio, is all about being alone or being with yourself and your intimates and your dog and your cat and whatever. It really brings the energy in. And for people that have had way too much of that already, I have found and we're really having a hard time.
Yeah.
But it was cleansing, I felt, and centering for those who – it was a chance to return our attention back to ourself, to turn inwards to ourself, to our projects, to the work we have, after being so all our antennae in the politics for so long there. Mm-hmm. So I found a lot of people
and
to catch up.
Yeah,
it's
and
true.
I think
Scorpio
the other part of it,
a,
I know I – oops, sorry, Mark, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. Yep.
Scorpio is a tough energy for some people.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is very focused inwardly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know in my case –
overall easier for introverts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The introverts were happy this week.
Not a party energy.
Right. And the introverts were celebrating, like, "Woo, perfect! Hey, I do, you know, focus on myself." But yes, it was, and I noticed that some people that have, you know, that and Venus heads into Scorpio next week, just as the Sun heads into Sagittarius, that were bringing up, if you are someone who holds on to resentments, that kind of cranks up the energy on the resentments, and we saw that in the Million Maga March. Where the resentments, like, this can't have happened, it continued. And it, I'm just worried that that energy keeps up. There was a really interesting story from a nurse in South Dakota who said many of her COVID patients refuse to admit they have COVID because they don't believe in COVID. COVID's a hoax. So do I have lung cancer? Do I have pneumonia? Said, no, you have COVID. No, I can't have COVID. Can I call your relatives for you? No, I'm going to get better. Oh, no, you're not. And that it's been that sense of denial, like we can't work on something if we won't admit what's here. So there was really, I think that's also part of Neptune yet in Pisces. It's been really interesting that this, that the one of the things Obama spoke of this week was, you know, that this life of lies, we can't even agree on what a fact is, let alone what to do about a fact, won't get cured by one election. That, you know, the Neptune and Pisces, the gift of it is this spirituality and intuition. It's made us a little permeable, in, you know, physically with germs as well as with intuition. But it's also brought up the question of what is the truth, this real smokescreen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's that fog of not knowing or not really being interested in what is the truth, but looking for stories that support your worldview. And I've noticed every side does this, but are you willing to look at every side? I mean, I've seen this on the left and the right, you know, but I'm seeing it more so in people who aren't, you know, who say Trump can't have won, can't have lost. We may have said it last time, Trump can't have won, but I'm hearing a lot of he can't have lost because my mindset won't let that in.
Right.
And it helps us, for all of us, to look at it. Where in our lives are we not letting in some truth?
Mm-hmm.
And so,
well, I think it is. I was watching, I don't remember who it was, but I was watching somebody, and he said denial is actually don't even know I am lying. And I'm like, ooh, I like that. Because, you know, I was, at one point, I was, you know, really rather frustrated with some of my relatives and my friends and who were Trump people. And, you know, a friend of mine who's a therapist goes, you know, you're not going to change their minds. They're in, you know, they have their vision. You know, when you're arguing with someone who's in denial about something, they're not going to shift.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of like, but. And it's like, you're not going to prove it to them because they're not interested in seeing that, you know. And so it was very helpful. And then when I heard that guy say that, I'm like, oh, I like that. You know, like that helps a little, that they don't even realize it. And that's okay. You know, that's part of the story. But when you're sitting there going, I can't, I saw that nurse, I can't even, I don't have it. I have lung cancer or something like that. It's like, no, you have COVID, you know, because you were told it was fake and you believe it. And I had a client I was talking to, and I think it was just in Texas, and she said, you know, her relatives that are Trumpers are like, okay, so COVID's going to go away after the election. And I, you know, we both kind of laughed. I said, actually, it's going to get a lot worse because we have the next big Jupiter, lots of Pluto death. So, yeah, it's not going away. It's just getting bigger, you know. So the energy of it, and I think we, you know, want to give props to the energy of the planets being so intense. Everybody really feels like they need to find a structure, and what is their structure, and how do they hang on to it? How do they hang on to it? Because it's an uncertain world. And so people are kind of, you know, but if you look for your structure externally, it's not where it is, you know. It's inside. How do we get to that inside place? Yeah. So it's an interesting time.
It is. So. Well, Venus is in Libra still and has finished its square to Pluto and Jupiter. It's heading into a square with Saturn. So love is a lot of work this week. We can look at love.
Venus squares everything love this week. She's not in the mood.
She's not in the mood. But, you know, at the same time, it can be, love is a lot of work, but if we work at love, it can really be there for us. And I would say to everybody, you know, get your team moving. It's out of its opposition to Mars, which is good. Get your team working together. Check in with everybody that you know and love. Venus goes into Scorpio next weekend. And it'll be more a solo journey and dealing with that kind of deep inner work. So this week is a really good time to check in with your team, get to know each other, find out what's going on, and then be in better shape to take the Scorpio-Sagittarius journey coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the sun goes into Sag this weekend too, which is
same time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they both go on the same day. Yeah,
that's helpful, actually.
Yeah, but also, if you didn't do a new moon ritual, because Jupiter and Pluto just met, and Mars is going direct, and this lovely new moon just happened yesterday, Sunday, you've got good moons all this week to do one. And it really is, you know, after all the emotional turmoil of this year, all the things you've learned, you know, go into the Scorpio place, the things you've learned psychologically and you've worked with and you've thought about and you've pondered and you've, you know, kind of mulled over. This is a great new moon to kind of, because the sun and moon are sextile to the COVID clump. In chart cast for Washington, they're all on the part of passion. Like, what's your passion? What do you want to pursue? Obviously, adjust it for your own land where you live. But it is a chart that kind of invites us to speak what our heart wants. And, of course, the sun and moon in a closing sextile to the Capricorn planets, you know, we're coming in at the end of this year. We're coming into the psychological integration point when we get to the Capricorn new moon. We're also entering eclipse season. The eclipses are coming. The eclipses are coming. We're going to have one on November 30th, and then we'll have another one on December 14th.
December 3rd?
And then we have the November 30th.
Yeah.
And then December
30th. Okay.
Yeah, November 30th. And then December 14th. So we're entered, you know, with this new moon, we entered eclipse season officially, which always brings to light things, you know, and takes us back to last June, what was going on then, and says to us, so, how you doing? And our job is to go, how am I doing? I don't know. But I'm ready. And doesn't it feel lighter this week? I know last week, Thursday, I just was so overwhelmed. I went to bed for 5 hours because I was like, I have to cancel. I moved everybody. I didn't cancel them, but I moved them. And I went to bed and went to sleep from 3 to 5, 3 to 8. And I got up, and then I was awake for an hour, and then I went back to bed again, which is how a Pisces moon copes with too much energy. But, you know, it's how do you self-care? Because also, as we pull out of this intense energy, as the planets start to separate, they're full steam ahead into Aquarius. So they're going 90 miles an hour, kind of zoom, zoom, zoom. And we want to kind of honor that zoom, zoom, zoom energy of, okay, this is what's happening next. This is how we get there, you know. So it's big. It's big.
So I want to say to anybody who's out there, if you want to talk to us, you have to raise your hand, you have to hit that one, and we can call on you. If anybody else was out there and wants to call in, they can call in at 347-215-8881. Okay, we've got now suddenly a lot of people have raised their hands.
Raising their hands, yeah.
Okay, we'll start here. Hello, area code 323. You're on the air. How can we help you?
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello? Good evening.
Yes.
My birth date is April 1st, 1959.
Mm-hmm.
I was born in Tehran, Iran.
Mm-hmm. And what time?
Midnight.
So,
but
like,
I've been living in Los Angeles, California for the last.
Okay, when you say midnight, does that mean you were born right after midnight or right before midnight? In other words, very early in the morning or very late at night?
I, honest to God, I really don't know. That's been
okay.
A puzzle. I asked my mother. She said midnight. She said that it was late. So I
okay,
know.
It was late, she said. Okay,
yeah.
So we're going to say that it's like 11:59 p.m. instead of, because that gives us 24 hours separation. So you're born in Tehran. And what's
mm-hmm.
your question?
Today, the orange buffoon announced
mm-hmm.
that he is going to hit Iran. That's why he had all these heads of Pentagon moved and dismissed.
Yep.
So
right.
I want to know you what you guys think about that. And then also
I think that's very possible.
Yes.
You know, you have actually with the 11:59 p.m. your moon is in
mm-hmm.
Capricorn last degree.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Saturn is. So that would show that this news really hit you very hard, and also
mm-hmm.
Saturn's in conjunct the Mars. Now I don't know that people are going to let him do that.
Mm-hmm.
because he's not allowed to technically do that kind of stuff without the approval of Congress. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, that is showing as a real threat in your chart. And
mm-hmm.
He's mad. And so Biden saying he's going back into the nuclear deal with Iran is definitely a trigger for him because, you know, he's going to try and do an exit. So hopefully they're going to say, we don't need to do this, you know. So we'll see what happens if the commander-in-chief issues an order that the military doesn't do. So it'll be interesting
right.
to see. But, yeah, that would be, to my mind, that means your birth time is 11:59 on April 1st.
I agree.
So, yeah.
Wonderful. I agree.
And I had a wonderful reading with you a few years ago. You predicted
mm-hmm.
everything you said was right, so magnificent. I mean,
mm.
I went into therapy for so many years, but that 1 hour and a half with you was worth a lot of my therapy sessions.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, you know, it also, because I want
to
say, because you did all that, because you did all that work, you were able to hear
okay.
the astrology, too, right? So you think of all that work you did that got you conscious and aware. Yeah.
That's very
yeah.
true. I
mm-hmm.
am involved with a Leo
hmm?
And right now, and you said he will come to my life. He did.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of obstacles. Do you see anything with that and my finances?
Oh, with
well,
your finances?
Mm-hmm. Yep. My finances and my love life, yes.
Well, Saturn's gone into, like, it's on your moon, but it's in your second house if we're roughly right on the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
so it looks like, you know, Saturn in our second house usually means a reorganization of our finances, and that
mm-hmm.
as you reorganize it, not feeling like you've got a lot of extra money to work with, but as you reorganize it, you can use this time to set up your financial security for the next 30-year cycle. But it's really
mm-hmm.
going to ask you to kind of play your cards close to the chest, use it carefully,
mm-hmm.
and not overspend. If you don't overspend, it's steady, but it needs to be reorganized. At least that's what I'm seeing.
Okay.
And
Yeah, and also back to 1991 and what you were working on financially back then, you're back to the same story again. Like, okay, back in 91 I did this, so now I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a new part. And back in 91 you would have put down roots and say, okay, you know, this is the direction I'm heading in. And now you're having the next 29-year cycle starting, saying put down roots and figure where you're going. Mark, what do you see?
Oh, very nice. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mark, any comments?
I actually don't have the chart.
Okay.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay.
One of the things I see is Chiron on your Mercury, and Mercury rules your house of relationships. Mm-hmm. So, again, it feels like that there's possible new beginnings here, but this is also a chance for you to heal some old relationship patterns. And in this new experience, not to go back and to notice that it's time for you to set up some new patterns and not to re-trigger into old emotional patterns that might not have worked for you before. So to really stay in the present with this and take each step gently and move forward into new ways of invoke healthy relationships.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Wonderful.
All of your shows. Thank you.
You're welcome. We really appreciate that. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And hello, error code 805-660.
Hi.
You're on the air. Hi, how can we help you?
Hi. It's July 5th. 1961, 11:13 a.m. in Ojai, California, OJAI. I'm so glad you picked me. The last time I talked to you, Uranus was on my moon. And
it's been a while.
I'm on my Saturn return, the last hit. So this is kind of ritualizing my Saturn return. So thank you for picking it.
Certainly. And what's your question for this?
My question is a general question about actually what you were talking about, denial.
Mm-hmm.
My situation is a mother with dementia who has been living with me for 2 years in denial, and a family filled with denial. And I really want to push off of this time, my Saturn return, my Jupiter return, my next part of my life. And I just want to hear from you three what you think about supporting me for the rest of my life.
What your next chapter is supporting you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're Virgo rising, sun in Cancer, so your family's going to let you take point on taking care of your mother until you figure out another way of handling it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Neptune, you know, mom is the fourth house. Neptune is 19, so it's really been in her third house for a while. And it does indicate with Neptune going into the seventh, there's an opportunity for a change in living situation if she's living with you. And it's squaring your ascendant. So with the Jupiter return, as you go into the 60 to 72 decade, you're running that Jupiter in the fifth, and it's saying, okay, what are my relationships, what are my duties and responsibilities? Because Jupiter rules the sixth. What is my relationship to other? What is my relationship to my mother? Because Sagittarius rules the fourth. And what is my relationship to my siblings? Saturn rules the third. Jupiter rules the third. So this is a really excellent time for, you know, family council meetings. And as you have your second Saturn return, you've always been the caretaker on many levels. And, you know, Virgo risings just kind of slip into that role. And everybody else goes, well, you're doing such a great job. You know, why should we help? Mm-hmm. So this is a really good opportunity for you to go, okay, I'm ready to change this up. So what's the plan, team?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, mm-hmm. going with the plan, writing a note to them, laying it all out, laying out the issues and things that have to happen, you know, taking that Mars and Pluto, which are getting the trine from Uranus, so you do realize you have to make a change, and getting everybody in agreement with what that change is to be. This is that forward motion time. So that would be my
You have
my
Neptune
suggestion.
On your descendant. It is directly opposing your ascendant, and it's going to come back and hit your seventh house again. And so you are dealing with Neptune. You are dealing with all of that confusion and illusion around you and the denial in the family and the denial with your mother. At what stage is her dementia?
I believe it's she's highly functioning and very charismatic. So she's and she's a Gemini, and she's got Pluto.
When was she born? Do you know what was her birth?
1935, and she's got Pluto's on her north.
So
node
sun
right now.
And moon. What day and year? A day and month.
June 8th, 1935, and it is 11:15 p.m. Los Angeles, California.
Okay. So she was born with that Moon-Neptune conjunction in Virgo. She's not about to show you that this is, that, you know, if she's in familiar circumstances, people don't see how bad the dementia is. But if you take her to unfamiliar circumstances, the record button's not working anymore, is it? She's just not picking up. She doesn't orient easily.
So right now she's up with my brother in Portland, and he's in complete denial. And I did lay it out for them, and my brother is accusing me of being a dictator, and I, with many demands for me to have to do before he'll have a conversation with me. So
you know, then maybe he can take her for a little while. You said goodbye to her. You, in many ways, when Pluto squared your moon. Over the last couple of years, you've been saying goodbye. You've already said goodbye, and you've kind of finished up some karmic cycles with her. But your brother hasn't yet. And what I worry about is that when you try to take responsibility and do everything the way your brother wants it and the way you think your mother wants it, it starts to wear on your health. Because that's your health is one of the few ways you let yourself get out of what you think is your responsibility. And I want you to take care of your health and set healthy boundaries right away. And you can let them, you know, don't tell them what to do. Just set your boundaries with it and let them figure out what to do with her and with each other. Does that make sense?
Thank you. Yes. I visualized the wheel of just stepping off the karmic wheel. I just, I'm stepping off into, that's what I was saying, my life.
Right.
And healthy caretaking. I mean, yes, I am a caretaker and healthily doing it really in a positive way that people are benefiting from it rather than this familiar.
There's a difference between caretaking and enabling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, I think you and your mom completed some karmic cycles together recently. Now your brother and your mother have to do their work.
And I would just say, you know, she can't come back because of COVID. You know, you got to keep her up there through Christmas. I mean, I'm going to guess he's not doing the caretaking. It's his partner. So this is his opportunity to figure it out. I know in my family, when my grandmother got a little, my father's mother got a little bad, my mother, you know, was home with her. Grandpa would stop taking his medicine and go in the hospital with congestive heart failure. Grandma would come and stay with us for a while till Grandpa got out of the hospital. And my mother would say to my father, and my father was like, no, nothing's wrong, nothing's wrong. And then one day, Grandma was naked at the top of the stairs yelling for Mark. And my father went, okay, maybe there is something wrong. And at that point, he had a conversion moment. So I'd let your brother hang out with your mother for a while and have a conversion moment and just go, okay, well, you know, with COVID, not safe to travel, so you keep her for a while. I'll pick her up. I'll pick her up in January, you know, in the meantime, figure out what you want to do so that when that happens, again, you know, your chart is prone to taking care of people with that North Node and Mars and Pluto and Uranus on it. You know, when people yell at you, you go, okay,
let me fix it. Yeah, come to know your options.
Yeah, don't fix it this time. Let him handle it, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it
Mark?
Is true, when it becomes your turn again, make sure that you have strict parameters.
I have a place. I have a place in lined up.
Excellent.
For if she shows up here, so
Good. So
thank
goodbye
you so much.
And good luck and with
thank
all
you.
Of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And to everybody else, this is Heather Rowan Robbins saying goodbye from Ronan, Montana. And
Ann Ortley, goodbye from the Bright Red Desk.
And Mark Waltz over by the Hudson River.
So work with your team together. Get everybody in good shape with each other before Venus goes into Scorpio. Then take some time for yourself in the week ahead. We'll see you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye now.